Bibles, open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13, almost to the halfway point of Matthew. But we'll get a move on it, I think, because it gets a little bit more narrative, more in story form. The Sermon on the Mount is so chock full of doctrinal truth. I think I spent 21, 23 messages on that. I could have spent double that, but let's look at this passage, Matthew 13, verse 47. We're going to go to the end of the chapter. I've entitled the message, not with a question mark, but that's me that does that. I thought it was an exclamation point. It's not to sum it all up. It's to sum it all up. So don't, on my notes, I have it right. But it's to sum it all up. Jesus, seven parables in this chapter. And this one, he sums it all up. Remember, he's talking the kingdom of heaven. He sums it all up, and then he gives a charge, and then he gives a reality check at the end. Matthew 13, verse 47 says this, again, Jesus speaking, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good unto vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? And being delusional, they say unto him, yes, Lord. I think they understood some, but do you understand all the Bible? No, but boy, we want to, right? But he said, do you understand all these things? Yes, Lord. Verse 52. Then he gives them a charge. Then he says unto them, therefore, every scribe, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but really he's saying every teacher. And I think every one of us are commanded to teach, right? That's the Great Commission. So not just the people that diligently were used of God to record the scriptures, but he's speaking here truly those that teach the law, those that teach God's word. So he says, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven, so he's telling them, okay, you guys, do you understand everything? Yes, okay, great. So now every scribe that is instructed of the kingdom of heaven, he says here, every scribe that is which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. He's in charge. Which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. We're going to have a great time just discussing that. Then he finishes with this. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him in Christ. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. What are you saying? A prophet usually has honor. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Again, title of the message this morning, to sum it all up with an exclamation point. And so the first thought that I have this morning, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. And the Bible likens this to the end of the world, the end of time. Understand that eternity has no end. But there's going to be end of the world, end of time, and God's going to gather everything up. You've seen this. It's very popular. I don't know. I've seen it a lot where there's prohibitions on fishermen in various oceans and various seas and where, you know, the easiest way to fish is just drop massive nets and you know, just pull them up and they catch everything. And so then what happens is they're only fishing for certain fish, and then they discard the rest, even though it could be good fish, and it causes issues with dolphins. You guys have seen all that, right? And so the Lord, though, likens the kingdom of heaven. Remember the kingdom of heaven. When the Lord's talking about this, he's talking to believers. And he's reminding us. This is a sober reminder. He finishes with this parable, and I think the order is always important, because I don't think there's just randomness with God. That the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net, and he's going to gather everyone up. Here's the reality. Every single person that we interact with, every single person that God created, will be gathered up and will answer to him. And they'll be separated. The good from the bad, it speaks there. We had, I will tell you this, you guys know Chase and Ashley going to South Africa. You know, they've been here several times, and so they were in Georgia when we were. But and this is always a risk, but I don't think the 14 people are going to share this with her dad. But so we went to have breakfast with Ashley's parents yesterday, and one hope that I had was that I'd be able to schedule a Bible study with her dad, and it looks like that's going to happen. And it'll be over FaceTime. Won't be driving every weekend down to Georgia. But I will tell you this. Whoa. They are master chefs. And I mean, they make these wedding cakes like nobody's business. So we show up for breakfast. It's the greatest breakfast I've ever had in a house. It's the greatest meal I've ever had in a house in my life. I mean, I was wondering how many people are coming. I mean, there was, everything was homemade. I mean, it was like outstanding. I mean, it was like, I think she homemade the strawberries. But I mean, it was like, oh, I mean, and it was like, it was my dream. My parents always told, and I could eat breakfast all day long. McDonald's really messed with me when they stopped the all-day breakfast. But maybe I'll live longer, right, some of you. But this was not McDonald's, but it was breakfast. Oh, and here's what it was, breakfast. I mean, it was so outstanding. This has nothing to do with the message, but I'm just still getting over this breakfast. But so what I like, my dad always told me, got to eat your food first before you can have dessert. And I love dessert. And so in rebellion against my dad all my life, I eat dessert first. Well, I was able to have dessert with my breakfast. They made these things. I don't even know what they're called, right? I'm not proper enough to know. And I mean, it was just like, this is the kingdom of heaven, you know? And I mean, oh, I mean, the food was so, it was so amazing. I mean, they were such, and I mean, then to top it off, I had some Diet Mountain Dew to go with it. It's like, whoa, you don't get any better than that. And so, I mean, it was outstanding. They were so kind to us, so gracious to us, so loving to us. But they're lost. Sat across the table, and man, they were just, they liked us. I'm telling you, I sit across the table from people like that, and I'm like, I'm a believer in Christ, and I want to be nice like them. And I mean, she stayed up late, got up early, and just the spread was just unbelievable. And this message was on my mind, and I thought, see, this is going to be shocking to some of you. People like that are going to split hell wide open. I don't like to think about that. My heart breaks. From a human perspective, they're nice people. They're nice people, but at the end of the day, everything's going to be gathered up. Every one of us will be gathered up, and we'll be separated into two groups, the saved and the lost. The Bible describes it, and sometimes it says, look how it describes it when it's given the story. Look at this in verse 58. It says, when the net was full, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. I want you to just look at a few verses. Look back at Matthew chapter 12. I want to help you understand some things. And maybe you don't need this, but I delighted in this because it's a burden of mine, that I want people to understand is, and the Bible uses interesting terminology. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. We're going to talk about this in just a second. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. It says, O generation of vipers, we've gone through this. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Turn over to John chapter 5, verse 28. I'm just going to walk you through this, right? The Bible will call people good men and evil men. God uses this, Jesus particularly, uses this in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. As he's speaking to this group, talking about he is the one that will call the resurrection. And he says in verse 28, John chapter 5, verse 28, he says, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The Bible uses that terminology. It says, he'll call all bodies will rise from the grave, and he says, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. We'll get there in the future, and it's one of my favorite interactions that Jesus has with this, what we'll see later in the future, as a rich young ruler. And it says in verse 16, And behold, Matthew 19, verse 16, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he, Jesus, said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. We're going to read verse 10, 11, and 12. Probably more of the familiar passage for you. Maybe most of these were familiar for you. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Some of you might be getting nervous. Hang in there. This has a point to it. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, I brought all this up, and I bring up, it's not a contradiction in the scriptures, but the Bible talks about men doing good, men being good, and the Bible says there's none good. Jesus, when he addressed this rich young ruler, he said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. But the Bible says, Jesus in John 5, we saw it earlier, that some will be those that do good unto the resurrection of life, those that do evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so, it's one of the great challenges for people today. Everybody you meet, they think they're good. Look, this family. And if they happen to see this, I want them to know that, man, I love them. This isn't me trashing them. From a human perspective, they are kind, and maybe from a human perspective, we might say they are good, although I think we'd hesitate knowing the scriptures. Because when the Bible says good, it means morally perfect. But they did something that was super kind, and I think God will bless them for it, because he'll bless those that bless us, curse those that curse those, as we are, you know, brought into the Abrahamic covenant. But understand this. What does it give? And I love this passage, the reason why. It brings up my second point. The wicked will be separated from the just. I want you to see that in verse 49. And I want you to know this. When the Bible says those that have done good, it could say those that are righteous, those that their sins have been removed. But I love this. Look at this in verse 49. He says, so shall it be. I'm back in Matthew chapter 13. I know I've had you go a lot of places here early. Matthew chapter 13, he says, verse 49 says, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. From among the just. I'm going to turn you to one more passage, and it's going to be in Romans chapter 3. I probably should have told you to stay there. But I want you to see Matthew 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, just the first five books is really all I've had you turn to, right, I think? But you see, here is the dilemma. When we meet people, everybody says, I am good. No, the question is, are you just? The question is, have you been justified? The question is, the only way that God could ever speak to us as good is we have been given the righteousness of Christ. I want you not to be confused with the scriptures. It is absolutely okay, absolutely appropriate when Jesus says, those that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Because we will do good when we've truly been saved, and what defines us is the righteousness of Christ and His goodness. Another word for righteousness is goodness. And I want you to understand this, but it's not our goodness, but we are good through Christ. Do you understand that? That's the confusion of the world. I want you to understand this and not be confused. It makes so much sense if lost people read the Bible without instruction. Now, the Holy Spirit is gracious and kind, and He can and will and has led people to truth on their own. But remember the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip raced up to him, he said, understandeth what you read? And he said, how can I unless someone teach me? And so I want you to look at Romans chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 23, a very famous verse as well. But I want you to grasp this, because we need to have this on our hearts, on the tip of our tongues, and we need to help the world understand it's not our works. We are not good, because sin has completely polluted us and made us unworthy. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's the first verse in the Mark New Testament, and boy, I'm telling you, we should spend some time on that, because it's this. It's come short, and you can't get there without some type of supernatural intervention, and His name is Jesus and His work. I want you to understand, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, He says this, speaking to this church at Rome, He says, being justified. I want you to remember what the word justified means. It's two perspectives. I mean, in its literalness, it means declared righteous. I love remembering the word just as if I've never sinned. Justification. Just as if, so you can kind of maybe remember something like that. Justification, just as if I've never sinned. We've been declared righteous. Or what would be another, we've been declared what? Good. You following me? Let's find out how we can be declared good, so that you'll understand in the scriptures, when the Bible says those that have done good, it's not. See, we need the world doesn't understand that. They think it's about being good in their flesh and doing things that are kind. I'm telling you, that breakfast was wow, the effort. I mean, man, I know where I'm staying next time I go to Georgia, at Ashley's parents' house. And wow, I mean, it was outstanding. But I'm telling you, that's not the goodness God's talking about. Let's look at this again. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. How? By His grace, His undeserved kindness, unmerited favor, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the work of Christ, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, what He bought, the ransom that He paid on the cross is the only way. It is by grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, through the work of Christ on the cross, His death, and then His resurrection. It is being justified, being declared good, being declared righteous, being justified freely by His grace, the unmerited. We never earned it. We never deserve it. Being justified freely by His grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, the means of satisfying God's justice, His wrath, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith grace through faith. For you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. That's Ephesians 2:8. Whom God, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a satisfaction of His demands, of His holiness. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It's all about the righteousness of Christ. It's all about Him declaring His righteousness. But then it's also about this, that He is justified in saving you, Randall. He's justified in saving you because Jesus did everything that God asked Him to do and required Him to do. And it's by grace through faith. That's how, when the Bible calls someone good, it's not their goodness. It is the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us, that's been given to us. I don't want you to misunderstand. I want you to declare this to lost people, because they're going to read these scriptures and they're going to say, I am good. I'm telling you, this family, from a human perspective, they are good people. If you'll allow me, not scripturally, but you know, some people are just not good people, right? In every aspect and definition of it. But from a human perspective, they went all out because they love their daughter. And that's a good thing. And I complimented them. I think I complimented them, and I was truth. I said, I'll tell you this, boy, we love your daughter, Ashley. I said, you guys did a great job. Didn't say you did the best. You could have done better. I said, you did a great job, and man, she's a delight. I just want you to know, when she's out and you don't see her, wow, she's a representative for the Lord that is, shines bright. Even a lost mama, it warmed her heart. I wasn't trying to just butter her up. I meant that with all my heart. You know this. We want our children to walk with Christ, to love Him, not for pride's sake, but I'll tell you this, I'm here to leave light. I'm here to if God will use me, to help and teach and show others this great righteousness of Christ. I want to be, and I am, by grace through faith, justified through Christ and His blood. It's the only way. See, I want you to understand this. It's the battle of the ages. I think it's been the battle of all the ages. Everybody, we all think we're good, but there is none good, no, not one. The only way to be declared good is you have to have the righteousness of somebody else, and the only one that qualifies is Christ. Justified. Justified. We must declare that to the world. It is not about what you do. You can be the nicest person ever, and we ought to be nice, and I benefit from niceness of people. But it's not about what we do, because we don't qualify. It doesn't. It's Christ justified. God is justified by saving us. You see, God would be wrong. See, you understand in this passage, God would be wrong to let anyone into heaven that was not covered and by faith through grace with the blood of Christ. You understand that? He would be wrong, and God will never be wrong. And we must declare that. You see, I love the way that this verse does it, and I love the variety of the Bible, because it makes us think, doesn't it? And a lost person can ask you and say, no, right here it says, those that do good unto eternal life. What would you say? You'd be like, I'll get back with you. That's okay to say, I'll get back with you. You don't have to have all the answers. But then you'd be like, I don't know what that means. It means, you guys would know this, I hope you go, it doesn't mean what you think it means. I had to be declared good. I had to be declared righteous, because Christ did all that was necessary, and it's by grace through faith. And I want you guys, I want you to delight in that. We aren't telling people we're better than them. We're just telling them this, the only way to be good, the only way to be declared righteous, the only way to satisfy God's demands is through His Son. That's why you understand. I love the way it says this, because this is a dilemma. Maybe you don't have these dilemmas, but I love to just think about the scriptures and think, I would prefer if I wrote the Bible, aren't you glad I didn't? I would have never said those that do good. The Bible would have been a lot thicker, but God wants us to think. I would have said, those that have truly repented of their sins and put their faith in Christ, knowing that He is God, you know, and I'd go on. No, God says this, Randall, you are good because of Christ. It's intimidating, isn't it? You're like uncomfortable with me saying that, aren't you? So now live it, right? We got this flesh, and we can walk in the new man or the old man, and it's a battle every day, isn't it? Aren't you uncomfortable? I look at you and say, man, you're good. Wouldn't that be, you'd be like, I'm uncomfortable with that. Jesus would say that. Because of his righteousness, you can be righteous. You can be good. But it's to declare him, to profess him. And you see this? This is what it's all about. Will you be severed unto the just or severed unto the wicked? That's what it all comes down to. And I struggle pastoring people I love. And how many people in this room you've never truly understood? I look in the mirror that I'm never worthy. And it's got to go beyond just mental assent. Have I truly, truly committed, surrendered, believed in Christ? It's what it all comes down to. He sums up everything, the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a gathering one day and then a severing. And then he says this, and I'm not far further than you probably want, just to put a little pause to it. He says, do you understand? And so I think I could ask you this morning, I think, do you understand this? I think most of you would go, yes. So then what's he teaching in verse 52? He said, then therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder. Okay. You understand this? You understand this? I know that's intimidating. It's intimidating to say I understand the Bible, right? But I think you understand what Jesus, he's not being too overwhelming here. This is one of the easier parables. there are still more interpretations of this than you can imagine. Do you understand this? He says this then. If yes, teach. That's what he's saying. And I want you to know this. Do you understand this? Then go tell somebody. Do you understand this truth of how it all ends? There's going to be a gathering and a separating. Do you understand this? Do you understand this? He says then every scribe, every teacher, then every scribe which is instructed under the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man. So what is he talking about here? Is likened to a man which that is an householder. You've been given responsibility. When God saved us, he gave us responsibility. We are caretakers of the gospel. We are caretakers of the truth. We are to proclaim, declare, to teach the truth of God's word. And so he said, you're an householder. You may not have known that when you got saved. You don't have to know that. But you now have a responsibility. He's your king. He said, you're an householder. You're responsible. Irresponsible. You're like an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And this simple truth. New treasures you learn and never forget the treasures of old. This ought to be coming forth from us all the time. Are you in the Word of God? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you immersing in the Word of God? Are you feasting on the Word of God? Am I feasting on the Word of God? I'm just telling you this. And you know what? There's going to be things you learned that were new. I mean, if this were Sunday school, I'd be like, hey, I want to hear what have you learned that's new? You know, what were you reminded about, right? What were you reminded about that was so exciting? You go, hey, I want to tell you. Let me tell you what I just learned from the Bible. Woo, man, it's good. It's just some good stuff. Are you in the Bible? I don't think most Christians are. They're not excited about anything. Hey, you know, I could walk somebody, tell me what you've been learning in the Bible. Well, I'm working on it. And then it's like this. Tell me the old story. You know, don't ever just be looking for new things in the Bible. There's nothing new under the sun, just to be clear. But it might be new for you, so you ought to share that with others. But you know this, never neglect the truths about God's goodness. You know, we could have had, I think I probably did derail Stephen's Sunday school class this morning just because I have some things I'm like, I just want you to know, you know. And I can't prove it exactly in this passage, but I just want you to know. God's always just, and he never judges anyone for someone else's sin. I don't know what's going on here. But, and I have some thoughts. You might disagree with my thoughts. It's okay. But it's this. I'm telling you this. I know this. God is good in every single thing he does. And I don't want to ever forget that. And so you know what? Don't ever. I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you, here's what I see most Christians. You know what most Christians are? If I started preaching again in Revelation on Sunday night, our attendance would go up. If I said I'm going to have a 52-week time on Sunday night to exhaustively cover the gospel, our attendance would be lower. The gospel is the greatest message of the Bible. And don't you ever forget, I know this, it's an old, old truth in our hearts because it's the only way that we were born again is by the power of the gospel. Never get so excited about new things that you forget the glorious gospel. And don't you forget, it's all about Jesus. We can get so excited about new things, and I think it's fun to discover new nuggets, new things in the Word of God, but never forget, tell me the old, old story. You know, it's old, but it ought to be fresh. You see what Jesus is saying? He said, do you understand this? Then he said, be like a scribe that's been taught into the kingdom of heaven. And he said, go tell somebody. And he said this, have it fresh. You just don't want to be the same guy that goes, I've got that same old message I told you yesterday. Come back a week later, I've got the same message for you. Of course people are going to get tired of you. Are you not reading your Bible and have something fresh to tell somebody? Then dig, right? The treasure. Search Christ. Learn of Christ. And then share it with people, right? The world will listen to you. I've tested it. Give me a new topic. I'll test it again. I'll go into a world that doesn't know me, and I'll just try it. And you know what I found out? Oh, some people. I'm telling you, 90% of the people will be like, what? And they'll listen because they don't know anything. Share something new that always leads to the gospel. But I'll tell you this, you know what happens? We Christians, we make the gospel boring. I think a lot of preachers preach the gospel like, well, let me cover this because I have to. The gospel's not boring. Are you bored with it? See, we ought not to be. I think it's our fault, not the word of God and not God himself. But I'll tell you this, you should be excited. When you learn something in the Bible, go tell somebody. They'll listen to you. They'll listen to you, but never, ever. You're like a householder. He's bringing out new treasures, and he's bringing out old treasures. And if you think of this, when he brings out old treasures, which are the most valuable? The new ones? The old ones. So give people what really is valuable. But I'll tell you this, people will listen to you when you're fresh. Don't put all that on your shoulders. Let the Bible be fresh. Let the Bible teach you. Be excited about the Bible. Do you see this? Do you see this is what this is the message the Lord's telling us? I'm telling you this, we better wake up! There's a gathering and a separating. If you know this, you understand this? Then get with it and teach. That's what he's saying. Teach things that you're learning that are exciting, but never forget the old treasures. Final thought I have is, then he says this, don't be surprised when those closest to you reject you. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but I just want you to see this. First, Mary and Joseph had a wonderful marriage and a lot of kids. Yes, Mary was not a perpetual virgin. This word here for brethren means from the same womb, not cousin. I don't think you can be a cousin from the same womb. So Mary and Joseph did not have a physical relationship with Mary until Jesus was delivered, born. And then it looks like God blessed them with many children. But I want you to know this. Just be encouraged. This is the way the world looks at you. You know this? We are a church of zero heroes. Is anybody special in our church? In one sense, we all are through Christ. But from the world sense, God has not blessed us with world-impressing people, including your pastor. But I'll tell you this, is not this the carpenter's son? Don't we know this guy? Did he even go to school? Was he homeschooled? Right? I remember we homeschooled our kids. They're like, well, where'd you go to school?
My basement.
That's for some kids, it's like, where'd you go to school? Who cares? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But here's the reality. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor. And it's interesting, right? We just got through an election here in our country, and it's interesting. When politicians, their hometowns always vote for them, don't they? But there's a difference between a prophet and a politician. Let me help you why. So if you're a politician, you're going to be like, what would you like? I'll get it for you. What would you like? Done. You want it? Got it. Done. You want that? Get it for you. Tomorrow? Yes. Get it? I'll do whatever you want. And the people of his hometown, their hometown people, they're going to love their God. The difference between a prophet and a politician, here's the prophet. There's none righteous, no, not one. Without repentance, you will stand before God and you'll leave him no choice, but he must condemn you to eternal damnation. Which is a better message? What would you like? I'll get it for you. Or there's only one way to heaven. It's very narrow. And if you don't put your faith in Christ, there is no hope for you. You understand why a prophet would maybe have some honor, but not in his own country or his own house? Imagine being Jesus, his brother or sister, the perfect brother. We've talked about this before, right? And how come you never spanked Jesus? You know? And so they couldn't stand him, and he was without sin. I want you to know this. He gives us this because I love this. I love, you guys encourage me. I love your stories. I love your attempts. I told somebody this. I really think most of us, I think nearly all of us are trying. I think that's all the Lord wants because it's not really in our effort anyway. Let's obey and do the work of God. And so this, but I know this. Who do you really long to see saved? It's those that are from your flesh and blood, isn't it? And you ought to not just limit it to that. You ought to not limit it to that at all. But you want to see your kids saved. You want to see your parents saved. You want to see your relatives saved, don't you? Right? And I know you're dreading Thanksgiving. Because it's the hardest place. It's the hardest place. And you're longing to tell them this message. And don't be so offended if it's without honor. You lovingly share the truth, though. You understand this? Jesus didn't do many mighty works in Nazareth, but you know what I think he did? He still preached. The mighty works might help draw a crowd, but he still preached. He gave them the truth. Nazareth was that excuse. I want you to know this. It's tough, right? The holidays are coming up. Don't understand this. Jesus says, relax. You probably won't have honor in your own household, in your own country, if you're going to preach my truth, if you're going to be a teacher, a scribe. And he says this, but do it with love, do it with kindness, and don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. And you know what, though? I hope you got something today that'll help you with Thanksgiving. Your family will listen to you if you're excited about something new. If you tell them the same old, same old, same old, same old. Yeah, Mom, I've heard that before. Yeah, Dad, I've heard that before. Yeah, cuz, I've heard that before. But go, I know you haven't heard this. Wait till you hear this. And then take them to the gospel from that story. I think every single story of the Bible leads to the gospel. I really do. Now, I'm sure you guys are going to find stories and say, how does this lead to the gospel? I'll be like, I don't know. The Lord knows. So I want you to know this. The way it ends up, everybody's separated into two groups. If we understand this, we're called to teach. We're called to give new, fresh perspective of things we're learning from the Bible, but never forget the old treasures. And don't be shocked this Thanksgiving. Let's really pour over it in prayer. That God will give you grace and mercy and love, and that you'll be surprised how good God is. That you come back. I love to hear stories. They'll go, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be. Oh, they need the truth. They need Christ. Remember this. They need justified. It only comes through Christ. Sum it all up. You're in one of two camps, wicked or the just. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll give us a heart for your work.